We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to DFS pregame show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blendered, Blender HD, if you want to follow me there on Twitter. And this is the show where I don't know what we're going to do. It's a What's Up? What's Up Wednesday? We got some initial projections for NFL week four on Sunday. The ownership is kind of wonky. Like some of these guys have, Amari Cooper is not going to be 0% on. We'll take a look at this. What else is going on today? I don't know. What's up? What's up with you guys? We'll just say what's up. What's up to the YouTube chat? I see you guys in there. Jonathan, Josh Grantham, Daniel Hutchings, Donathan Dow, Sterling Woods, Colin Lawson, Suki Singh, Max Coach, Pug Daddy, Andrew Garcia, Josh Duck, Jerome Lewis, Card Fan, Woo Woo J Train, who just took down his first GPP, a $25 single entry. I saw that. He tweeted me. Congratulations on that. Hog Lawrence is here. Frederick Dude, give me those thumbs up. Give me the thummy thumbs. I'm going to wave my thumb in your face until you give me those thummy thumbs. Hit the subscribe button if you're new here. Hit the notification bell to know when we go live on the channel. But it's what's up. What do you want to talk about? What's up? It's like the middle of the week. It's not much going on. There's soccer this afternoon, but I have not looked at the Champions League slate at all. I've been away for 2 days. I mean, I was back yesterday, but yesterday I just pretty much slept through yesterday. I was gone Monday night through Tuesday, whatever. So I don't know what the hell's going on. I didn't play the showdown slate on Monday night. Zeke did well, right? I think he did well. But we'll see. So hit those thumbs up buttons. So type your questions in the YouTube chat. This show is driven by you. If you want to know anything about the tools here at Roto Grinders, right, like Lineup HQ, how to build lineups better, just general DFS strategy questions, just put it in the YouTube chat. If you want to sign up for Roto Grinders Premium, you get all the tools, right? And these are the tools that I use, right? I use Lineup HQ. This is how I build my lineup. So if you want to learn and you want to, when you use the same things that I use, sign up for Roto Grinders Premium. Click on the link in the description to get $10 off your first month. And Woo Woo J Train says, big win thanks to what I've learned here, right? It's not complicated. It really isn't. People overcomplicate DFS. Once you understand the game that you're playing, it's really not that hard. I mean, it's hard to win, but it's not hard to play well, or at least play competitively, right? MJC say, what's going on, Jordan? Nothing, right? I was away for 2 days, a day and a half, whatever, up in Cincinnati. Watching some wrestling. Right? A lot of people are surprised that I was into pro wrestling. Well, I wasn't for like 15 years. Then the COVID hit, right? And then there was nothing else to do. So I got the WWE Network and just like, oh, let me see what's happened the past 15 years, right? So watching documentaries or whatever. And I got kind of a little bit back into it. Back in the day when I was a teenager or whatever. Yeah, I was heavily into it. But that was the good old days of wrestling, right? That was the Attitude Era. That's when Stone Cold and The Rock and all those guys. So that was a good time for wrestling. Now it's not that great anymore. But we're not talking about wrestling, right? We're talking about DFS. And we got projections. This is our Gridiron IQ projections. Derrick Henry against the Jets. Davante Adams against the Steelers. I mean, he has like a 40% target share or something. Let's see. What else is going here? Let's see. Goodbye, RGB. Cortland Sutton is coming against the Ravens. Are we still going to play Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 5,400? Is that going to be a thing again? It's hard to tell. There's no owners. I mean, Davante Adams is not going to be 0% owned. I guarantee you, I'm going to play a ton of Davante Adams if he's 0% owned. But we still have a lot of injury news to like figure out. Is Darrell Henderson going to play? Is Dalvin Cook going to play? I mean, like, what's going on with the Titans wide receivers? What's going on with A.J. Brown? We got a lot of injury. I mean, if we go, can we sort by injury designation? We could do injured here. Okay, here we go. We got all the Qs, all the QQ guys. Dalvin Cook, Juju. Is Juju going to matter? How about Deontay Johnson, right? What's going on with the Steelers wide receivers? Do we care about Elijah Moore? I don't know. I don't know about that. What's going on with the Jets wide receivers? I don't think that's going to matter. I don't think we're playing any of them anyway. Curtis Samuel, is he going to be back? Is that going to matter? Probably not. Traquan, is that going to matter? No, probably not going to matter. Eli Mitchell, is he going to be back? Is that going to matter? What's going to matter? Probably Cook, Henderson, and the I was going to call them the Pirates. The Steelers wide receivers are the ones that we need to monitor the most. But who knows what's going to pop up throughout the week, right? So we're telling here, if we have all these cues, that means A.J. Brown isn't questionable. Is he on the injury report? What's going on? Let's see. Is he even in the projections, right, A.J. Brown? Or maybe he's out. Is he out completely? He's not even here. What happened to A.J. Brown? I'm not sure. Is he dead? Right? How about with Julio Jones? I've just seen that. Oh, I got the Roto Grinders notification. Julio Jones getting treatment on leg. Week 4 status is up in the air. Up in the air. Is A.J. Brown out? Is he just not in the projections for some odd reason? AJ, where's AJ? Am I making up a player? Am I from a different universe where the people are looking at me like, who's AJ Brown? I'm making people up. Maybe he is out. If he's not in the projections at all, I guess we're considering him out. How about Julio Jones? Julio Jones is in. Julio Jones is in without even a tag. Yet we say that it's up in the air. Yet AJ Brown just doesn't exist anymore. We just removed him from the universe. I have no idea. This is why I don't look at stuff this early, right? Who knows what the hell's going on? Wait till Friday. And even then, you're kind of like, let's see what happens on Saturday. And then you start making your lineups. Frederick Dute, do we full fade the Chicago offense until they figure out their situation? Don't think in terms like that. You're trying to predict outcomes. There's going to be a price and a probability that they're playable, right? I mean, we take a look here. We take a look at Darnell Mooney. I mean, at 3,900, I mean, he still projects to be plus RGV play. I mean, he's still good. 3,900. Do you play Fields? I mean, what's Fields' price? I mean, they're playing Detroit, right? 5,200. 18.95 projection right now in Gridiron IQ. No, the Bears are actually more playable this week. They're favored in the game. And they have a 22.5 implied total. Last week, they were 19.5 implied total as an underdog. It all depends on price and probability. It has nothing to do with, they look bad. What happens if Justin Fields, all these guys are minimum price? And like, well, why not? David Montgomery was 3,000. You'd play him. So it's not a matter of like, they didn't look good. What's their price and what's their probability? That's it. And there are some teams, I mean, we have the Chiefs a lot of times. Oh, their probability is high, but they're also very expensive. But do you play them or you don't play them? And then you have, you know, we had that situation with the Cowboys-Chargers game. Sure, that didn't work out. Or even with the Rams and Bucks last week, where the guys are obviously underpriced for their probability. Last week, if Cooper Kupp was 9,100 or something, he wouldn't have been owned. But at 6,800, he was. So we have to view that here. How much is Allen Robinson on DraftKings? 5,800. So that's much more playable than 6,200 at least last week. No, I think the Bears are in play. Would I stack them? Probably not, because this game total is really low. But individual pieces, I think that they're much more play. They're much more playable this week than they were last week. Regardless of, I'm not thinking about, whoa, they look bad last week. I don't care. Well, the Chiefs are 1-2. Well, who cares? Well, no one seems to care about that, right? There, people will still play Mahomes and Hill and Kelsey. So don't think in terms of like what you saw on the field. We have to wait. By the time we wait to see them be good, they'll be priced up and be more owned. So that's the worst thing to do. So people are going to be completely off. If Allen Robinson is going to come in at 1.2% owned, Darnell Mooney is going to come in at 3% owned, why not take a shot? Before they actually look halfway decent. And then the price comes up another 500 in each, and then they end up being 10 to 15% owned. That's the time to not play them, because now they're over-owned for their probability. So that's all you're thinking about. It's a market. Think about it just like market dynamics. You're not trying to predict what's going to happen. Just you're coming up with probabilities of these outcomes happening and whether or not the market is over or under them. Buzzer beater 37. Looking for ways to get Kelsey in this week. Hopefully some value wide receivers come up later this week. Yeah, tight end is garbage. I think Kittle is more likely. You're more likely to play Kittle on DraftKings. Probably Kelsey on FanDuel. Kelsey's 8,100 on DraftKings, but still, you feel like in this day and age, like you don't feel good with any tight end other than other than Kelsey. So even Kittle is sometimes disappears, and Andrews disappears at times. And then the rest of the tight end pool is awful. Right? You feel like I just want to get up to Kelsey, and I don't have to worry about tight end. Worry about tight end getting 3 points or something. No, I get it. But I think, with Kittle being, 2,200 cheaper against Seattle, I think he's going to be popular. I think he'll be more owned than Kelsey on DraftKings. On FanDuel, the difference isn't as dramatic. And the pricing is softer across the board, so you could pay for Kelsey. Okay, Steve, the producer knows more than I do. AJ Brown is week to week, 90% out this weekend. Okay, so that's why we don't have him in the projections. It's not, I'm assuming typically when we don't have a player in the projections at all, that means they are, that they're marked out. I just want to make sure that, sometimes it's like, oh, what happened? Oh, we forgot. So that's why I asked. So who's going to be catching passes for the Titans now? If Julio is out, is it Chester Rogers time? What's going on with the Titans? Let's take a look at the Titans wide receivers. What do they project? Like Julio actually projects fairly well for 6,500. Right, and then we get Chester Rogers and Westbrook Ilkine, right? Batson's there. Who's McMath? Racy McMath? That's a made-up name. That seems like a name like a seven-year-old would come up with. Racy McMath? Racy McMath, it has to be, right? You're in your second grade class, right? You're in first or second grade. And they're trying to teach you addition and subtraction, right? They're trying to teach you, the little flashcards to teach you like multiplicate 2 times 2 and 3 plus 3 and all that stuff. And they do it based on like a NASCAR type of theme. Like they're the car racers. Right, it's like, oh, can you get to the dividend? Can you get to the product? 2 times 2 times 3 times whatever, and the character, because it's like NASCAR themed, is Racy McMath. Right, he's teaching you addition and subtraction, and multiplication, all the tables. Right, can you get to the end with Racy McMath? He's not a real person. That ain't a real person. Yeah, but what I mean, if it's the Titans versus the Jets. The Jets are awful. If Julio Jones is out, why aren't we playing Chester Rogers? Why aren't we playing? We're going to get a 3K wide receiver. Do I say stack the team? No. I mean, then it's Derrick Henry time probably regardless. But this team's going to be really cheap. The Tennessee has a 26.75 implied team total. On the road, nonetheless. So, yeah, I think if Julio's out, here's your value play. I mean, even if Julio's not out, I mean, he's come up still positive. If you want to play Chester Rogers or Westbrook, Ekine, what's going on with these names? I think they're playable. I mean, look, they come up positively, plus or minus salary adjusted value. Do they have a ceiling? I don't know. I don't know about that. As far as like cash games for value or something, I don't see why not. Why not? Even if Julio isn't out, I think if Julio's out, yes, then I mean, passes have to go somewhere. Card fan, I'm sure no one will play Henry versus the Jets. I'm assuming that's sarcastic. I think Henry is going to be very popular this week. At the running back slot, I mean, it's going to depend, obviously, on are we going to get Dalvin Cook? Because I think Madison will still be owned. I mean, he's under 7K. I think CEH at 5,400 is still obviously in play against the Eagles. But I think, you know, you could, and this week, I think you could play Derrick Henry, 8,800 on DraftKings. He's like over 10K on FanDuel, I think. But you got Najee Harris, 6,800 versus the Packers. You got Barkley's around there somewhere at 6,700. Chuba Hubbard, I think people may play him, but I'm not sure if that's the best move, even at 5,900. I mean, we've got running backs to play. Mike Davis, 5,100 against Washington. I mean, I'll have him, but I don't know how many other people will. I'm just going to keep on playing Mike Davis until I'm broke. His underlying metrics show that you should be playing him at 5,100. And I'll watch his Cordell Patterson, you know, cucks him somewhere. I don't know. That's why he projects well. I mean, he's like the fifth highest running back in opportunities so far this year. I mean, he's horrible, yeah, but I mean, at running back, you're paying for opportunities. You're not paying for who's good. Who cares about who's good? Running backs don't matter. Hog Lawrence, it may just be my misperception, but it seems odd San Francisco's favorite over Seattle by 3. Let's see. Well, San Francisco's home, so that's pretty much an even matchup with the home field advantage. Why not? Seattle's defense sucks, right? I mean, at least it's shown to have sucked, especially their run defense, and San Francisco runs the ball. I'm not surprised by that. Is that a good game, though? I mean, that game, I mean, it's a high total game. That is a 52 total. I could see so many paths to that game fail. You have two coaches that would rather run, like they naturally would rather run. If Seattle gets ahead, it's Chris Carson time. San Francisco gets ahead, it's, you know, seven running backs in the backfield. Kyle Juszczyk running the ball. I don't know. We'll see. This Rams, Rams, Cardinals. That's a look at that total. 54.5. Like that's going to be a popular game. And I haven't even looked at the totals yet. I'm looking at the totals now, right? KC, Philadelphia. Yeah, that's 54.5. I like this Carolina-Dallas game. That's a 50 total. Cleveland-Minnesota is 52. Right? We got some big total games. That's why, like, I'm going to stack the Bears and the Lions game with a 41 total. Like, you don't do that anymore. Like, vomit stacks don't work in NFL anymore. I mean, they can. Less likely than 2 or 3 years ago. I used to be the king of the vomit stacks. But that was before that. Back then, we'd have one game with a 52 total, and then we have like maybe three or four with like 47 to 49 totals, and then you'd stack the cheap team, you know, the 44 total game, and you hope that the one 52 total like didn't get there, and then all you needed was, I mean, the difference between that and the other like 47 to 49 totals wasn't all that drastic. that it can't, that lower total game couldn't beat it out. You're playing a 41 total game when there's five games that are over 50. One of them is gonna get there. Something's gonna get there. That's why you just, okay, I'll just get exposure to all the high total games and then just fill it out, fill up the lineup for the rest of the way. Going through the YouTube chat. Wee says, I really like the Kirk Cousins Viking stack against the Browns this week. I guess that wouldn't be that bad. I think it depends on if Madison or Cook is in. That's another game that two teams that would rather run the ball. The total's high. But it could be Chubb and Madison or Cook or whoever's in, and the rest of them don't get there. I do like Odell Beckham Jr.'s price on both sides. Right? Let's go to that game. Let's look at the flex. Go to, where's Cleveland? Where did Cleveland go? Cleveland, Minnesota. Oh, just okay. They actually project very well. Okay. As of right now in Gridiron IQ. Jefferson and Thielen actually project well. OBJ, maybe not so much, but still, you know, for his ceiling, 5,800. No, this isn't that bad at all. I mean, the ownership doesn't matter. The ownership is borked. But yeah, I could see playing. I think you'd play Conklin in the stack instead of the double wide receiver, unless you're playing in very short, small field contests. But I can see playing Cousins, Jefferson, Conklin, Beckham, LBJ. I can see that. Maybe KJ Osborne comes back to life. You never know. No, this isn't that bad. Isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. No, this is fine. This is doable. I'm not a fan of playing Nick Chubb. I rarely ever play him. But he's 7K. A lot of times he's over 8K. Yeah, Kareem Hunt at 6K. It's just that who knows what's going to happen with the running backs. There's too many running backs in that range that I'm going to like have to pick which one's going to do well. No, that game isn't as bad as I thought it was. But still, you're dealing with two teams that, you know, if the Vikings get ahead, you may see a lot more running. And if the Browns get ahead, you'll see Chubb and Hunt run the ball a lot. So they're paths for it to fail. Let's see. Frederick Dude says softer quarterback pricing makes vomit stacks less required too. Well, no, the pricing is about the same as it's been. It's the difference in quarterback ceilings now are much wider than they were, and the pricing has not reflected that. I guess that you're kind of saying the same thing. Like it used to be that like we didn't have quarterbacks, like a $5,800 quarterback, you know, would only, you know, would still put up like 18 to 20 points, and a top end quarterback would put up 25 to 26 points. I mean, like the difference wasn't that dramatic, but now we have guys like Mahomes, Allen, Murray, Jackson, Wilson, Jalen Hurts. And then you also have like Prescott and Rodgers. We got a lot of guys that like these guys can put up 30 point games that going down and playing, you know, Matt Ryan for like 16 points or you know, trying to play the Jimmy Garoppolo or something, or Teddy Bridgewater. Like 20 points at quarterback really doesn't cut it anymore. There's going to be a quarterback that puts up 35 points nearly every week, and it's most likely going to be one of the top ones. So really these prices should be like Mahomes should be. If we take a look at just like from a point per dollar perspective, right? Like Fields and Ryan come up point per dollar wise, but their ceilings are much lower than like Mahomes is still nearly the same point per dollar value as a Matt Ryan. Right? Not as much, but close enough. They just rather play one of the top level quarterbacks and their teams. And also typically that their teams have high totals. Getting away with the vomit quarterbacks and the vomit stacks, just it's not for large field, small field, I guess you could do it. But for Larchville, it just there's too many games that put up too many points. You would need all of the high total games to fail. And in the past, when there was one or maybe two of them, you go, okay, one of them could fail. Two of them could fail. Five of them? That's a tall task. I mean, you could do it, but you need all the other high total games to fail. Buzzer beater 37. Josh Allen is going to be super popular. No, he's not. I will have some, but mostly fading that stash. I don't think he's going to be popular at all. He's 8,000 now on DraftKings. He was 7,000 last week. Also, you don't care about quarterback ownership. You care about the stack ownership. No, the Bills stack is not going to, I don't see the Bills stack even being in the top five in ownership this week. I mean, this is me just looking at, remember, I'm literally just looking at the slate right now. Okay. No, I mean, if we take a look at just wide receivers in general, right? Everything is guided by the wide receivers. So you're going to be pairing them up. So you see here, it's like, okay, well, where's the Buffalo guys? When I'm sorting by salary adjusted value, where I know I'm Russell Wilson will be more popular. Matt Stafford will be more popular. Hell, Kirk Cousins may be more popular, right? I take a look here, and I'm like, so they priced up some of these. Like Beasley and Sanders are now a little bit more expensive, right? Beasley's like 5,400, right? Beasley's 5,400. Sanders is 4,900. Diggs is still expensive like he normally is, right? 7,600. And Allen's 8,000. And also they're playing a game where, you know, they're what, a 15, 16 and a half, nearly a 17 point favorites. People are going to look at that and go blowout. I'm going to play it. I play Josh Allen every week. I play Buffalo stacks every week. I've said that before. No matter who they're playing, no matter what the spread is, I will always have Josh Allen double stacks every week. Not in a single, that my only lineup. No, I play when I'm playing a large field, I'm playing 150 lineups. Yes, I will have Buffalo double stacks every week because of their passing volume. No matter what their price is, pretty much, right? But I don't think they're going to be popular. No. I think Dallas will be more popular. I think even Carolina, I think Darnold, DJ Moore type lineups. I think Mahomes type line. I mean, there's so many other places to go. Kyler Murray, maybe even. The problem with Kyler Murray, it's hard to pair him up with people. I mean, just take a look at the wide receiver projections. Like, Buffalo doesn't show up there. And, like, high as of right now. And you go even by my quarterback. You go by RGV. Yeah, he shows up there, the fourth. Right, but you still get Mahomes, Prescott, and Hurts above him. Cousins right below him. Lamar Jackson. They'll be owned. I'm not saying you're going to get it at 1% owned each. No, of course not. I don't see any of the Buffalo receivers getting more than double-digit ownership, which means Josh Allen's not going to get double-digit ownership. So, no, feel free to play him. Like I said earlier, it's about price and probability. Everyone's going to play them. No, not everyone's going to play them. They did good last week. The same thing with the Bears. Oh, we can't play the Bears. They were horrible. No, they're better. They're better priced in a better matchup this week. If anything, you play them this week, no matter if they sucked last week or not. Who cares what happened last week? Other than injuries, that's all that matters. You act like, who cares what happened? It doesn't matter. Nate Brantra, I saw Squirrel Patrol talking last week about comparing the Vegas odds to the highest team score each week versus the projected ownership. Is that something you do in your process? Well, it's already in there. It's already in the totals. Most likely when you're looking at the sports book that says, who's the team that's going to score the most points? It's going to be the team with the highest implied team total. Like probably Buffalo is number one, but a lot of people may not be playing Buffalo because the pricing and probability of the stack is less. Let's say Buffalo was the top and Josh Allen was 17,000. Stephon Diggs was 12,000. I mean, like, you'd still never play. So it has nothing to do with, like, who's the most likely to score the most points? Well, it's in relation to their salaries and then in relation to the owners. So that in and of itself doesn't do anything. It's just a he's showing more of the fact of like, oh, a lot of people are playing this game, but actually this is the team that is more likely to score the most points. It's just that they're not as attractive from a median perspective in DFS. Daniel, do you MME on FanDuel as well? Not typically. I mean, I will MME on one site or the other. Doing them both is tough. But I mean, I have. Outside of PPR difference, is there anything that makes you alter your process from DK? Yeah, on FanDuel, you don't have to. Correlation is a little bit less important because of a half point PPR and no bonuses. And the fact that the pricing is soft. So when you plug in that second, you know, you're double stacking someone, like that second person, you know, you may be giving up 3 points in projection. That's the same ownership just to get the correlation in. And at that point, the correlation probably isn't worth it. That's primarily due to FanDuel's pricing. Right? And also the lack of a bonus. So like 300 yards plus 100-yard receiver, like, yeah, you get 6 points for that on DraftKings. You get nothing on FanDuel. So correlation is a little less important. It's a little, but you're still stacking, right? I'm more likely on FanDuel to do a quarterback with their wide receiver and then an opposing wide receiver, like a skin, what we call a skinny stack. Less likely to double stack. Doesn't mean you can't. If you could add the second receiver and not be sacrificing much projection and similar ownership, yeah, then do it. But understand that a lot of times on FanDuel, the pricing is so soft on certain players where, oh, do I get this overpriced guy that's correlated, or do I get this guy that should be $1,000 more as a one-off? Right? Like Saquon Barkley and Alexander Madison last week were like way too underpriced on FanDuel in the running back spots. Like it's hard to, any lineup you build, once you take one of them out, like you're sacrificing so much projection. Doesn't mean you play them in all of your lineups. Just understand that, okay, I'm going to take out Madison at 5,200 to be different. And then I'm going to double stack and add a correlation that doesn't give me, that sacrifices even more projection. On FanDuel, it's much easier to be different and still maintain your projection and drop your ownership. But it also means you're probably going to be playing a lot more chalk in that line. Like it's much easier on FanDuel to like rotate a core of like six guys around and then switch out all the other people. Like I said, you have to run the lineups. Right? Run the lineups and see. All the stuff that I'm telling you, you could look for your exact, you can look exactly yourself by just running the lineups. Right? Put in that configuration, 2+1, skinny stack on FanDuel in lineup HQ, and then just run. See what the line with the projected ownership and with the projections of the players, and just run them. So if I run 2+1, I'm getting 100% of this guy. Well, let me take him out. Now what do I get? How many points am I giving up for that? If he's like, I'm giving up a half a point. It's okay, I guess I don't need that guy. I mean, you could still play plenty of that guy, but now you know, okay, by having lineups without this guy in it, I'm not dramatically dropping my projection. And some slates you take it out, it's like, damn, I can't make a lineup. All my lineups are like 6 points projected lower. And you go, okay, I guess, even though he's popular, I guess he has to be in a lot of my lineups because I'll find a way to get different elsewhere. You do that by running the lineups. You can use an optimizer as research. Not as just, oh, I'm going to build my lineups. No, run the lineups. It's going to be much more efficient for you. You're turning all of the players into numbers, as you should, and then running the lineups to see what they look like. And you go, oh, even on FanDuel, right? You go, oh, should I double stack or single stack this guy, this quarterback? I want to play Kirk Cousins double stacks on FanDuel, right? Thielen, Jefferson, whatever. I want to see the difference between, like, let's say you play that game and you want to play it as a Cousins and then the run back is OBJ, right? So either Cousins +1 or Cousins +2. So go to FanDuel, lock the guys in. Lock Cousins in, lock OBJ in, run a 2+1, run a 3+1. Run the top 20 lineups, whatever. You can run 100 lineups. and see what the projection, the total projection and the total ownership is. You go, how much, by getting the second guy in, by getting Thielen in also with Jefferson, I mean, we could do that. Like, I mean, we'll do this on DraftKings, for instance, right? I'm going to go here. I mean, I don't even have to set up a stack because I'm just going to lock people in, right? So let's say I play, let's build 20 lineups. Let's make sure they're all one unique. Does limit one? Yeah, we're probably going to limit one. In the same team, 49.5. Okay. So this is what you do research and go, okay, as of now, obviously the ownership is all screwed up. So we're not even going to go by the ownership because some people have zeros. Okay. So we're going to go to Kirk Cousins. Go Kirk Cousins. Right. We'll go to flex. We'll just target that game. Since where is it? Minnesota, Cleveland. Okay. So we're going to go. It's going to be obvious on DraftKings more than anything, right? Justin, Thielen, OBJ. Okay, so we're going to do it this way. I'm going to build 20 lineups to see what they look like based on our current projections. All right, so you go down at running back, right? We got 147.69, 147.69, 147.62. So you're around the 147 range, right? If you play the double stack. So let's take off Thielen and now run it just with the single stack. Okay. We're at 149.8. So you're pretty much giving up around 2 points in projection. If you double stack rather than single stack. Now, we don't have the exact ownership here because you see what the difference in the ownership. If it turns out that double stacking, you lose enough ownership to make up those 2 points, then maybe it's fine. I mean, 2 points isn't that big to begin with. But now you know that you need to try to basically make up those 2 points elsewhere, either in ownership or in player projection in the rest of your line. But you do that. I mean, look, why bother asking? You could literally do it yourself. Now, you could do the math in your head. That'll take much longer than just using a tool that does it for you. Let me add up all the people. Let me try to make a lineup. No, just, dude, it took me, less than a minute to do. I'm giving up 2 points in projection by doing so. As of right now, obviously, based on our projections Wednesday morning. And you could do that for multiple teams. You go, okay, what happens if I do Jefferson and I also do Conklin? Right, so I play the tight end as part of the stack. Okay, so we're gonna go. Let's see Conklin. So lock in Conklin, run 20 lineups, whatever, 5 lineups, whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay, 147. Actually, I give up more by locking up the tight end position. Right, so this is the single stack. 149.8. Here's the double, 147.89. And here's the one with Conklin, 147.1. So actually, I give up more points, projected points, by playing Conklin than any of the other ones. So that's interesting with the cheap tight end. So actually, the Thielen Jefferson one, from a projection standpoint, is better than the Conklin one. Using just those players together. Obviously, you have to put other guys in your line. But it's not dramatically so. Even the Conklin one is 147, right? 147 versus 149.8 versus 147.89, right? Even 147 to make up 2 to 3 points, not horrible, not bad. Right? If we saw the Conklin lineup was 142, you'd be like, okay, that's a lot to give up to be able to make up in the other spot. Just to play a punt tight end that's tied in. So you're less likely to play. Doesn't mean you can't. Playing 150 lineups, you can still have 2 lineups that look like this. You could. But this is how you would do research. To me, this is research. This is the going through and looking at target share data and snaps and defensive stuff and what it's already in the projection. So why am I going through all that? This is the research that I'm doing. How can I build lineups that go together and be plus EV. Based on the number, we've already given them the number. All the football stuff is already in the numbers. Let's see. Adrian Barco, would Jared Goff be a good pickup? Pickup? Where are you picking him up? Are you picking him up from the airport? You better pick. If he's expecting you at the airport, you probably should pick him up. You should bounce back with the Bears. I don't know what's going to happen in the games. That's not the game that I'm playing. DFS has nothing to do with what's going to happen in the games. I have no idea. But if he thinks that you're picking him up at the airport, I would go pick him up. Jason Mitchell said, playing a naked stack field, playing naked fields still could have worked last week, especially on FanDuel. They had Mike Williams at 6K and Jamar Chase in a cheap price. Yeah, sure. But that's primarily because of pricing on the other players, not because of Justin Fields. Card Fan says, listen to NFL content this year. So much different for me when trying to evaluate everything with a lineups, not players viewpoint. I still enjoy listening, but I'm no longer trying to get plays out of it. Right. And then you listen to content and you wonder, like 95% of it is like, why are you wasting your time talking about this? Right. Card Fan gets it. Once you get it, once it clicks, you see it like, wow, most of this is worthless, right? Most of this is a waste of time. Most of this is just basically describing the projections, right? A lot of it is just, oh, these are the players that are projecting well. And here's the reason why, right? So you listen to the content, you read the articles, you go, oh, these 10 guys are good. And then you go to the projections and, oh, those are also the 10 best projected players. So like my attitude is, if you want to save the time, just go directly to the projections, right? Right. I can just go on Saturday and go, oh, what do they look like? Okay, what are the best projected players? It's all the guys that people are talking about. Oh, it's not a coincidence, right? Jared Rudeminer wants to know about MLB. Man, MLB still going on? Baseball still going on? I don't know. I haven't played baseball. Now what, MLB DFS in what, three and a half weeks? I have no idea. Was it a mistake for playing Brady Singer? Probably. I don't know. Did he project well? I mean, what does the lineup look like? I have no idea. I have no idea what was going on yesterday. Injustice 360. You said something like you don't like to stack 2 7K wide receivers on the same team like Metcalf and Lockett. Does the same apply to wide receiver and tight end, Hill and Kelsey? Yeah. It's more the fact of in large field GPPs, we're talking, this is for large field GPPs. Like you pretty much need a ceiling. You're aiming for a ceiling out of all of your players. So the higher the price is, the more points they need for that price point to hit a ceiling, right? If you have a $3,500 wide receiver that gets 22 points, that's beautiful. I could win with that. 22 points out of Kelsey or Hill, probably. There's going to be other 7K, 8K wide receivers that could match him. So I need a lot more. So I need Hill to have a 100-yard game. But I also need Kelsey to have a 100-yard game at their prices. I don't need a 100-yard game out of a $3,500 receiver. So that's why Lockett, Metcalf, Hill, Kelsey, like two 7K plus wide receivers or receivers in general from the same team. In large field GPPs, like they both need to get there, which means the Chiefs need to put up like 42 points, which could happen. Sure, yes, it can happen. That's less likely to happen. So I'm less likely to play those combinations. Very expensive. Blender, do you pay attention to ceiling projection as well as optimizing for tournament? It doesn't matter. Compare the numbers with the ceiling. You're just comparing lineups to one another. Whatever number you use, it doesn't matter. Who cares? Like I said before, Ron, you're overcomplicating it. Once you understand how to play DFS, you'll realize that it's 10 to 50 times, 50 times simpler than you think it. I mean, so like most of the questions so far in this chat, everyone is over complicated, like highly overcomplicated. I could literally, okay, just to tell you, I could not take a look at anything there's what's going on this week at NFL. Nothing. Zero. I have no clue what's going on in NFL. And show up on Sunday morning at 11:30 and build better lineups than you probably. Knowing nothing what's going on. In fact, I could probably, someone that knows nothing about football at all, never seen the game played, never, literally has never seen the game played, doesn't know what even the field looks like, doesn't know the positions, doesn't know any of that, literally knows nothing. How the scoring works, nothing. What's a receiver? What's a catch? Never heard of it. I could teach them without ever showing them a football game in about 15 minutes, and they'll build better lineups than you do. Okay? That's how simple it is. Doesn't mean it's easy to win, but that's how simple it is. So you're looking through all this stuff. You're the ones overcomplicating. Look at what I just did with the Kirk Cousins and Justin and Jefferson Field. All I'm doing is looking at how do the combinations of numbers come together. Obviously, the ownership is all screwed up. But these aren't the accurate. We have some people at zero. It's not going to work out this way. But if you just went in on Sunday and say, I want to play lineups that have a higher number of this and a lower number of that as much as possible, give me whatever lineups are in that, whatever. There you go. You're done. That conceptually is a blunt way of doing it. It's not the perfect way of doing it. I want the highest projection for the lowest ownership. And I don't care what the hell combination of players I want, right? Can I get the highest of that number while it's still being the lowest of that? Right? So you compare these lineups, let's say you're forced to play five Kirk Cousins lineups out of these bunch that we have, right? So I'm gonna save this, right? This 147.89 lineup matches one of these lineups also, 147.89, right? Somewhere down here. They would be equal to one another as long as the ownership was the same. So if you show up on Sunday and just do that, you'll probably make better lineups than what you did. You spend 30 hours during the week poring over stats or what? I don't know what you're looking at. Probably. Because that's all you're doing in DFS. How do I get more points than my opponents? By playing players that you gain more points from them than the field does. So I want the highest projection for the lowest ownership. That's it. That's the game of DFS in the simplest terms. So it said, is Jared Goff going to have a bounce back week? Well, we have Jared Goff. I'm going to go to Jared Goff. Okay. This is what I know about Jared Goff. Okay, where is it? Can we get to it? Why are we stuck? Why are we stuck on flex? What's going on here? What am I doing wrong? Oh, I've the content. Okay, there you go. We go to Jared Goff. Let's go to Jared Goff. Okay, where is he? Where's Jared Goff? Okay, Jared Goff is 17.16 projection at 1.8% down. That's it. That's all I know. That I don't need to know anything else other than Jared Goff. And in fact, the quarterbacks don't even matter that much. The receivers do. So let's say I wanted to make Jared Goff stacks. Let's go to Detroit. Let's say I want to make so I'm going to play TJ Hockenson, right? I'm going to play just TJ. I'm going to do a single stack, right? Not even a run back. Who cares? Let's just make Jared Goff lineups, right? Jared Goff lineups, right? What is the best Jared Goff? I could just click right here in the optimized section, right? 147.74 at 63% ownership, even though the ownership, like I said, that number would matter if we didn't have zeros for Adams and Cooper, right? Those types of guys. So that's it. So to me, all that matters is this number and this number and these players and the whatever. That's it. Why do I have to look at Jared? I don't care about who Jared Goff is. I don't have to care who TJ Hockenson is. I don't have to care who the Lions are. I don't have to care about any of that. It's already in the numbers. I'm just building lineups and go, can I get this number as high as possible? And can I get that low number as low as possible in comparison to other lineups in the contest? That's it. And you're done. You're done. That's DFS. In a nutshell, that is DFS. Now, what number, how much projection are you willing to sacrifice for what ownership? Depends on the field size of the contest, the strength of the field. You're playing a small field contest. You probably don't want to give up 20 points of projection for the sake of, you know, not that much ownership. No, you're probably not. Large field, you're willing to sacrifice more median and get lower ownership. But that's it. This is DFS. If that's all you did, you'd probably be profitable. Right? You wouldn't have to, do I double stack? Do I single? Whatever shows up. Right? Whatever shows up. Like, do these stacks work better than these other stacks? Okay, well, then give me 10 of those. Right? Whatever. Do I want to play? Then once you get past that point, then it's just a matter of how much risk tolerance. What level of risk do you have on certain players? Do I want Mike Davis in 100% of my line? I mean, you could, according to the numbers, that's what you should be. That's that. Those are the best lineups you could be playing. If you're not willing to put in all your chickens into one basket, be like, okay, I'll play Mike Davis in 20% of my lineups. And then now, what are the other 80% look like? Can I get to a different running back without sacrificing as much projection? And if you can, then feel free to play 20% of the other running back. Like, now it's just a matter of diversification. You could find 50,000 lineups that are about equal to each other that you could play. That you could look at 50,000 lineups that if you showed me all 50,000, I would say, close your eyes and pick one. They're all going to equal the same about the same expected value. 50,000 lineups that are, to me, all equal. Don't even tell me who's in the lineups. But based on the math, they're all going to be about as profitable as one another. But I'm only playing 20 of them. Which 20 should I play? It's like whichever 20 you want to play. They're mathematically equal to each other. Which 20 do you want to play? And pick any 20 you want. And since they're all equal to each other, maybe to lower your variance for risk tolerance sake, you're not playing 20 of the Kyler Murray lines. You're playing 3 of that and 3 of this and 4 of that. But mathematically, you could pick any 20 and they'd all be the same. So just which ones you pick at that point is just a matter of your personal risk tolerance. On do you want to be all in on this guy or that guy? But in the end of the case, you could randomly select 20. You could randomly select 150. And if this slate played out 1,000 times, 10,000 times, if you did that for the course of your DFS career, you'd make about the same amount of money, no matter what you did. Just depends on if it's going to be bigger swings or slower swings. That's really the only difference. That's what DFS is. So you're just trying to play plus EV lineups. That's it. This isn't complicated. Andrew Garcia, do you ever change projections of players to have more ownership instead of adjusting min-max? Some you can. Right? Once you've decided on the types of lineups you want, the projections really don't mean anything anymore. Then you're just utilizing lineup HQ as just a tool to get the lineups you want to have. So yeah, you can. Michael Guest, have you game stacked 3 or 4 players before without the quarterback? If you have the option to get a mobile quarterback in the same range, I'm likely not doing that. But if you ran the lineups and you found lineups that had the proper projection and ownership, and you could do that, then do it. Depends on the lineup. Pierre Dota, how much time do you spend, if at all, using player groups? I typically set up, depending on the slate, maybe 15 to 20 player groups. A lot of times it's to force in certain players. Like if I'm setting up skinny stacks with like Josh Allen, like I don't want Josh Allen plus Dawson Knox that's it. Right. Like to Kirk Cousins plus Tyler Conklin. And that's it. Like I'm setting up the player group. So it's like, if Kirk Cousins is in the lineup, like at least one of Thielen or Jones, right. If Russell Wilson is in the lineup, at least one of Metcalf or Lock. Right, like you're setting up those type of groups. So you don't end up with a Russell Wilson, a Gerald Everett only type of line, which, I mean, you can't. If you run the lineups, maybe there are ones that look good like that, but a lot of times they are. So those are the types of groups that I'm making. MJC, so just correlate the lineups and don't worry about anything else besides ownership and projections. I assume not spreading ourselves too thin when creating 10 to 20 lineups is plus EV. Yes, exactly. Phil Thomas says, why did you pick Goff? I thought it was lineups, not play. I was explaining to the other guy. I wasn't picking Goff. Someone was asking, should you play Goff? So I was showing him. What do you do on single entry? The same exact thing. Alex Levin. Well, okay, that's good for... No, that you're building one lineup. So what lineup is the best lineup to play? How much ownership and projection do you want to win the contest that you're playing? Because single entry doesn't mean... There are single entry contests in NFL. There are 12,000 entries. That's not a small field contest. Also understand that in single entry, the ownership will be different. Right? Someone is 22% owned in the Millie. They may be 28% owned in single entry. Right? So you have to take that into account. But you're doing the same exact... Nothing changes. Okay? Nothing changes. The sport doesn't even matter. Nothing changes. Well, what happens if I'm doing three max? Well, then you're selecting three lines. For the contest that you're playing, there may be an NFL 10,000 lineups that are about equal to each other. Okay, 10,000. Pick three of them. Pick one of them. Well, which one do I pick? Doesn't matter. They're all mathematically about equal. Doesn't matter. And they're 8v8s. I mean, we're not talking about, oh, they're equal and they're like, oh, it's a 1v1. No, it could be half the lineup could be different. And the lineup would be equal to one another. One lineup could be really chalky and have the same expected value, but not win first that often, right? But come in like 20th a lot of times. There may be a lineup that barely ever cashes, but when it wins like top five all the time. So like the EV of those lineups would be about the same, possibly. One would be a very high standard deviation. The other one wouldn't. But the expected value of the lineup would be about the same. I say about, because nothing's equal, but it's so marginal that you essentially call it equal. So you'd be doing the same exact thing, just for single entry, select one lineup. There you go. That's what I do. Right? For my single entry, three max stuff, I go through, it's like, okay, strategically, what do I want to do? It's like, okay. I go, oh, maybe I want to play Kurt. Like, maybe I want, out of the 50,000 lineups I can play, I want a Kirk Cousins double stack with Odell Beckham Jr. And so let me take a look at 20 lineups that look like that. What are the projections? What's the ownership? I look at the first one. I go, that's still a little too jockey. Maybe I take out one guy and I go, let me run that. And I find the, and then I find 5 to 10 candidate lineups that have a certain projection and a certain ownership. And then I go and I look, okay, well, I'm also playing another stack. And then I'm trying to get a little bit more diverse. So let's say I'm playing 5 total lineups and it's all 5 different stacks, right? Kirk Cousins, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, whatever it is. Maybe I don't want to play the same running back in all 5 lineups. So that's why I get 5 or 10 candidate lineups for each of those stacks and then go, well, if I'm going to play Mike Davis in this lineup, I'm not going to play him for this stack, right? You could play in all 5 lineups if you want, but put all my eggs in one Mike Davis back? Just probably not. I have Barkley in this lineup, but I have in no other lineup. Okay, well then, okay, I have in there. If I have 5 to 10 candidate lineups for 5 different stacks, we're talking about 25 to 50 lineups that I'm essentially saying are equal to one another. So if I wanted to close my eyes and select 5 of them, that would still be fine. But at that point now, I'm just a matter of what's my diversification. Which 5 I pick is inconsequential mathematics. Just what's my risk tolerance on certain people? That's it. And that's a personal decision. There's no quick answer to that, right? Should I have more of this guy or more of that? You've already said that these lineups are all equal to each other. So at that point, it doesn't matter. Your results at over the course of a long period of time isn't going to matter. But in a short period of time, it could. So instead of going all in on one guy, maybe you don't want to do that. That's it. That's DFS. I've explained DFS. That is all it is. If you want to learn more of thinking like this, you think like a professional DFS player. You're going to theoryofdfs.com, right? How to think like a professional DFS player. It's 15 hours long. It's me in your pocket. You can listen to it multiple times. Game objectives, player selection, expected value, leverage, correlation, construction, risk management, exploits, psychology, plenty of miscellaneous stuff, an introduction, everything, plenty of testimonials. If you're not viewing DFS, this is how top players view DFS. This is how it's played. It's not a coincidence that most, if not all, of the top DFS players, especially in GPPs, have backgrounds in applied mathematics and finance, computer programming. These aren't people out there sitting on their couch, they've been watching football for 20 years. No. And a lot of them don't even watch the dang games at all. Like, literally, don't watch anything. Just don't watch film, nothing. So how do you play? How do they win? Well, I'm explaining it to you. They build models. They build processes and algorithms in order to do that. You could do it manually. I'm teaching you the manual way to do it, right? They'd be directionally as accurate, right? We have like Nerdy Tenor in our chat, Daniel Hutchins. He's doing the automated method, right? Built something that kind of, that does it for him like that. And he may not even understand why certain lineups come together the way they are, but according to the math, that's what it should be. I'm kind of explaining like, how do you get to that same point? I think he'll get to that point more efficiently and more consistently, but I'll get to that point enough of the time, close enough of the time that I'll do it my way. It's the same conceptually, you're doing the same thing. Just I'm not programming a computer to do it for me, but I'm still using tools to go like, what do the lineups look like? Compare them to one another, and then run them, and just run a line, or just run them. Give me 150. Run them. There you go. And I could do that entire process. And I mean, without diversification, I could do that process in like 5 minutes. The rest of the time, when I'm building a 150 set or anything, is all diversification concerns. Has nothing to do with like what are the best lineups. I already see. I can build 10,000 best lineups. It's a matter of what 150 of them am I going to play. That's the thing. I think Nerdy Tanner does it by just randomly. Just like, randomly, just give it to me, right? Something like that, right? Probably have some type of diversification thing at all, so you're not getting 100% of the same stack. Okay, let's see. Any questions before we get out of here? Frederick Duke, get Blender's book. Course. It's really a course. I've listened to it 4 times and learned more each time. Yes, that's how I learned how to play poker, right? I read books like Theory of Poker, right? The 2+2 books and stuff like that. I'd read the whole thing and then play. Then a month later, read it again and then play, right? You can't implement like 8,000 concepts at once every time you play. Just go, okay, I remember getting into that situation. And then you get better and better and better. Daniel says his NFL models are not that great yet, but he's working on it. Good enough to beat Showdown. I thought you don't do your own projections. I thought you just use the blitz or something. Or just they talk about the simulation methodology. So I know in baseball, you just use the bat. Usually, so you're not even building your own projections. That's what I thought, at least. But good enough to beat Showdown, though. Yeah, Showdown, NFL Showdown is, I would consider NFL Showdown to be a print fest if you're able to survive the print, to be able to print, right? That's the best way to put it. Like you could, like the EV of your lineups in Showdown are massive. It's just a matter of when will you realize that EV? Because you need to essentially win first place. It's a winner take all type of contest. So you could have 150 lineups and 100, like these, the EV of these lineups are ridiculous. But only one that, but you only realize it when you win first place. So you need to just keep on playing them and wait till you win first place. And hopefully you don't go broke by them. That's why having good sound bankroll management allows you to do it. Okie doke. So give me some thumbs up on your way out the door. I'll shake my thumb at you. Thumbs. Subscribe to the channel if you're new here. Hit the notification bell to know when we go live. We got Swolecast. The Swolecast coming up later. The OGs sports betting show. We got the DFS Pick Six. Dean and the PFF people. Is it PFF? Who does the pick six? I don't know. The Daigle. Who comes? I don't know. I don't know who it is. I know the people. Who's the sponsor? What's the thing? The Pick Six. It's the Pick Six show. That's later tonight. We got MLB. Obviously, MLB still going on. Grinders Live. Crunch time for premium members. And if you want to get Roto Grinders Premium, obviously click on the link in the description to get $10 off your first month. Tomorrow, we'll continue these discussions. Maybe talk a little bit about Showdown and answer your DFS strategy questions as I always do. Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Eastern on the DFS pregame show on rotogrinders.com.